Pray that the Lord would help us and bless us as we turn together to his holy and precious word of truth for our instruction, the word that's upon my spirit. You'll find in the chapter that we read, the 2nd of Chronicles, chapter 33, and looking at verses 11 through to 33 in particular. Verses 11 to 13. Wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the hosts of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among thorns, and bound him with fetters, and carried him to Babylon. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God, and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers, and prayed unto him. And he was entreated of him, and heard his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. The Word of God is a book that is written to each and every one of us here. You and I, all of us, are made in God's image. And just as God has eternal life, an eternal home, and eternal safety, so God has eternal life, eternal home, and eternal safety, you and me, if we're honest with ourselves, are made in God's image. Whatever people say about how we are made in God's image. And you in your soul, you in your heart, know that there are things that you long for. And that is to live forever, to never die, to have a home, and to have safety forever. Those are things that are, because we are made in God's image, that is things that each one of us is hardwired to know. You have, and you were created with an eternal soul when you were conceived. I was conceived. And we have that aim and objective to be happy, living happily ever after. That is across the board what mankind in every nation, tribe and tongue longs for. That is why, as yesterday there was a terrible tornado in Mississippi, and I believe many people lost their lives and their homes, that is why it's such a tragedy, so sad, because it's not what people were expecting. People were expecting eternal safety, eternal life, and eternal home, and yet a tornado has taken that away. That's why people are sad when things like that happen. That's why people are sad when there's a war like there is in Ukraine at this moment in time, and no doubt many other places. That's why people are sad when Turkey had such a the north of Syria had such a terrible earthquake, because people's eternal life has been shattered. People's home forever has been shattered. People's safety forever has been shattered. And I say that because Manasseh here was living in the land of Israel. And God knows what people need. And he had said, I'm giving you this land for you forever. Neither will I, verse 8, any more remove the foot of Israel from out of the land which I have appointed for your fathers. There was that intention that Israel, the land of Israel, the land of promise, the land of blessing, was going to be something that matched up to what you and I all long for. And yet we notice in verse 8, as we read through, there were some, there was that, it was linked to righteousness. So that they were to take heed to do all that I have commanded them. You and I are created in God's image. God has made us what we are. He knows what we need, but he also knows how to achieve that. How it is to be achieved, I should say. And it is by taking heed to do all, says God, that I have commanded them, according to the whole law and the statutes and the ordinances by the hand of Moses. But we see that where Moses had said, you will do all this and all will be well, you would think that, yes, the end result is good, because I've just got to do these things and that will be the outcome. But of course the problem is that you and I aren't like that. We don't always want to do exactly what God tells us to do. We have it hardwired in us through the fall. Not through creation, but through the fall, that we question. Just like Satan tempted Adam and Eve, we question. Is it really necessary for me to do this, that and the other that the Bible tells me? Is it really necessary for me not to do the things that the Bible tells me not to do? We question. We say, has God really said that? And Manasseh was exactly the same. Manasseh here, he was only 12 years old when he became a king, but he got great privilege. He was a very privileged man. He'd got the blessing of being king of a beautiful countryside. He'd had a good father, Hezekiah. And Hezekiah had shown him some lessons that, and told him lessons and taught him lessons, no doubt. That when the terrible regime of Assyria came to attack Hezekiah, God stood up for him. Hezekiah would have told Manasseh these things. And Hezekiah, without much power at all, was able to be delivered by God's help, God taking the lives of 185,000 soldiers of the Assyrians. God delivered Hezekiah from Assyria. And the Bible, you see, is a true story. It is a true account. But always remember, the Bible tells us the truth. The outcome of Hezekiah's faith was his blessing. Manasseh had seen the lesson of the northern kingdom of Israel that had been taken into captivity in Hezekiah, his father's days. Again, a true story. The outcome of Israel thinking they didn't need to listen to God, they could do things their own way. The outcome, the lesson that they needed to learn, they were taken into captivity. It was a disaster. And you see, this is what the Bible teaches us. The Bible teaches us, you and me, each one of us, it is God's book written to his creatures, each one of us, his created beings. It's written to us to show us what the outcome of stories is. The story of your life and the story of my life, the story of Manasseh's life. And Manasseh knew all these things, but he went and did his own thing. Verses 4 through to 7 show us a catalogue of all the things that Manasseh did which were against God, making serving wizards and familiar spirits, involved in witchcraft, involved in sacrificing his children to idols, and all these things, you see. And the outcome was, wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. The big wide world out there needs to listen, and we all need to listen to God's word. The outcome of turning our backs upon God is an outcome of disaster. And in my life and your life, you see, you and I are all born and bred with an expectancy of a happy ever after ending if in our lives. But the Bible tells us that if we copy Manasseh, if we live a life like Manasseh, whatever we may gain on earth, the outcome will be the outcome of Manasseh. Manasseh, who was removed from his land, removed from his home, removed from his people, removed from his freedom. No doubt, in Jerusalem, in his palace, he had a life of luxury. Well, he ended up in pain, being pulled through thorns, it would appear. Manasseh, in Jerusalem, had freedom, but he ends up in a jail. And I can just imagine that a Babylonian jail was not a pleasant place to be. Probably a very grotty, horrible, smelly, bad place to be. Jailed from Judah, brought from Judah to Babylon, far away. And so we see, the Bible tells us what the outcome of sin is. He was, verse 12, he was in affliction. This is a true story. This actually happened. And you and I, you see, we were also created in God's image. We're longing for an eternal home. We are longing for eternal safety. We are longing for eternal life, eternal joy. But the place where these things are achieved, in heaven, there is a link. There is an issue that nothing that defiles, as we sang with the children, nothing that defileth, or naught that defileth, naught that defileth shall ever enter in. So it might be such a place that we all long for, but nothing that defiles will ever get in. And if heaven for you is thinking, I'm still going to be in charge, I'm going to do my pleasure, I'm going to be number one, to think that when I get to the end of my life, God will welcome me for what I am, and praise me for the good deeds that I've done in this world, and I'll be told this is the place for you. If we're thinking that that is heaven for us, that when we get there we'll be able to think and say, I made it, I must have been good enough. If that's the kind of heaven that we're thinking of, we are sinners, because we are not serving God. We are not worshipping God. We are much more like worshipping ourselves or worshipping other people that we think might have helped us along life's journey. And so, whereas you and I are conceived in the image of God, longing for eternal life, longing for and expecting eternal home, eternal joy, eternal safety, an expectation of heaven, well, like Manasseh, we will be removed. There is no hope of eternal home, eternal joy, or eternal life because of our sin. Nothing that defiles shall ever enter in. And that's where we get to. He was in affliction. But the wonderful thing about the Bible is that the Bible talks to people in a realistic way. The Bible knows, and God knows, that we sin. The Bible knows that we make mistakes. The Bible knows, as Manasseh was banned from Israel, the kingdom of Judah, Jerusalem, so God knows that you and I, because of our sins, are banned from heaven. But the Bible tells us more. The Bible tells us when Manasseh was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. The Bible tells us that Manasseh realized that he was in a position that he could not get himself out of. When you're in a Babylonian jail, in a foreign country, in chains, perhaps even so that his head was in the stocks, when you're in a situation like that, you can't get yourself out. And that's really important for each one of us to learn a lesson like that. And yet, you see, we read that Manasseh prayed a prayer unto his God. We read about it in verse 18, and we read about in verse 19 a prayer that he prayed. And although that prayer is not in the Bible, there is in secular writings, there is a brief glimpse of what he prayed about. And he prayed, you see, that there was a God that gave blessing to his forefathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. He believed the God of his fathers, that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had been blessed. There is a God who is able to bless. That was the one lesson that he learned. He prayed because he believed there was a God that was able to bless and had blessed Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He was the God, he believed, that had brought them into the promised land. He was the God that had overcome all those nations to give them their land. You see, he prayed to God and told him all these things. He also prayed to God and told God that he was in the situation he was in because of his sins, that he was unable to lift his head. Perhaps it was locked in stocks. He had fetters on his hands. He was unable to lift his hands. But he was able to lift his heart and his eyes to God, to tell God that he could not deliver himself out of that situation. And he asked for mercy. He asked that God would remove the problem from him, the problem that he could not remove for himself. And that's really important, because he prayed to God because he believed that God was able to remove him from a problem that he could not remove himself out of. And that's a really good, important lesson for you and I to learn. He believed that he was banished from his own land because of the terrible sins that he committed. He knew why he was there. He understood why he was there. He deserved to be there. But he begged God. He humbled himself. He didn't say, I don't deserve to be here. He didn't say proudly, I'm going to get myself out. But he completely said, I can't get myself out of this situation. I can't do anything about it. He humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and many others, Hezekiah too, and prayed unto him. And so that's a really important thing, that he learned a lesson to pray. And we see there that God, he, that is God, was entreated of him. And And I want to tell you that the word entreated is a word that we don't often use. But what it really means is that Manasseh's prayer had an impact on God, so that God listened and God changed the thoughts that he had towards Manasseh. Manasseh and his prayer was heard in heaven, in the heart of God, and the heart of God was changed, so that instead of having thoughts of anger towards Manasseh, he has thoughts of love and kindness and mercy and grace. His heart was touched, in other words. The word entreated means he was touched with Manasseh's request and his supplication. And the prayer of Manasseh is called a supplication, as it says here, because it's a prayer, that means it's a prayer that he knew he didn't deserve it to be answered. And Manasseh gets that right. He didn't deserve that he should be answered. But none of us will get to heaven because we deserve to be there. We will get to heaven by grace and mercy, which is sparing us, as Manasseh prayed for, the prison that he was in, that he might be spared from it because God is kind to him, and that he might receive grace, which is also undeserved. And so, you see, God heard and brought him again to Jerusalem, into his kingdom. And notice who delivered Manasseh. It's he that was entreated, as in God that was entreated, and God heard, and God brought him again to Jerusalem, into his kingdom. And Manasseh went on to reform his Jerusalem. A lot of the wicked things were thrown out. And so it is. It's a lesson to each one of us. God is able to bring us back into his kingdom. He is able to change our heart so that we cast out those things that once we did. And we are not that we're ever going to be sinless in this world, but God one by one convicts us of our sins and shows us what needs to be removed or cast out, the thoughts that need to be cast out. Have you ever had it in your life where you're about to say something that perhaps you would have said, and it's like there's a barrier that comes down, as if there's a stop sign that comes up? You mustn't say that. Don't use that language, or don't say such unkind things, or don't do such a thing. And it's the Holy Spirit, you see, that is able to keep us from evil. Now, this is a true story. The Bible, as I say, is full of true stories. The outcome of Manasseh's humbling himself, the outcome of Manasseh seeking the Lord and praying, is that God's heart was changed, and God brought him back to his own kingdom. And that is the message of the Bible to people in this world, in whatever difficulties we may be, where you see that the eternal life that you are seeking for has been broken off, where you see that the eternal home that you thought you were going to have in this world is not going to come to pass. If you see in your life that the eternal safety that you thought you were going to get out of this world is not coming to pass. If you see that your eternal life that you wanted is going to come to an end in death, and that your eternal joy is not going to be forever. If you see that the things of this world, you suddenly realise they can evaporate in a moment, like they do when we see all around us in the news with tornadoes and earthquakes and wars and all that sort of thing, and people taken from our midst. We see it all around of us, all around. There is a message to be proclaimed to people that are now in discomfort or in affliction because of sin. Because I realise that I'm not going to go to heaven because of my sins. There is a message from the Bible. And that message is to be proclaimed in all the world. This Bible is written to the whole world. Whether they hear or whether they forbear. That means whether they listen or whether they don't. The message of the Bible is still there. Still to be given. Still to be given out. Still to be proclaimed. People are still to be reasoned with. People are still to be, as Paul said, persuaded. Although look, it's not natural persuasion, but to give sensible arguments that the Holy Spirit may use to change people's hearts and understanding. And so, you see, the prayer of Manasseh can be your prayer and my prayer. When one day, at some point in our life, some way, somehow, we are convicted of sin. And we see, like Manasseh, that I am where I am because of my sin. And I am where I am in a position that I can't get myself out of. I'm on the road to ruin. I'm on the road to disaster. I am in affliction. I am in pain. I've got myself there. Manasseh had got himself there. But he couldn't do anything to get out of it. When you see that it's not just other people that it's the where the hymn says nothing that defiles shall enter in, but it means me too. I won't be getting there because of my sins, because I am defiled by nature. The captivity that Manasseh was in is nothing compared to the captivity I deserve to be in, the captivity of hell itself. That is, the Bible tells us, the outcome. It's a true story. It's a true account of my life. But, you see, the Bible tells us so much more. In Paul's words, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. That means this is a faithful, true saying. And to be heard by all, to be received by all, to be accepted by all, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now, Paul said he was chief. Manasseh was pretty bad. He was a great sinner. And yet, Paul says, I am chief. I am the chief of sinners. And so, it's not just Manasseh, with all of his sin, that's able to come to God. It's not just Paul, with all of his sins, that was able to come to God. Totally different type of sinners. But it's not just those people. It's you and me. You and me, in your affliction, in your trouble, in your difficulty, in your hell-deserving condition. If you believe that because of your sins, there is no hope of joy, an eternal home, an eternal life for your future, then you are exactly the person, you see, that is to take note of what happened to Manasseh in his life. As God heard Manasseh, so you and I are to call upon God. Now Manasseh, in his day, there was the temple there, and they prayed towards the God of the temple, the God in Jerusalem. But the Lord Jesus has told us each that the temple will be destroyed, but that he will be raised up in 3 days, and he is now the person that you and I are to call upon. We don't call upon the temple like they did all those years ago. The Lord Jesus Christ, not replaced the temple, but because the temple was only something to represent Jesus. But you and I are to pray to the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus has come into this world as God with man, walking amongst you and me. He talked to all kinds of people at all kinds of level when he was upon earth. He told all sorts of stories and accounts of those that needed mercy coming to him and seeking for mercy. And the Lord Jesus, you see, has come into this world. And he tells us that he came into this world to save his people from their sins. And how does he save his people from their sins? He saves his people from their sins by bearing the equivalent of hell for other people. On the cross, the Lord Jesus voluntarily endured the equivalent of hell, his Father's wrath poured upon him. The Lord Jesus bore the equivalent of hell on the cross, and he tells people he did it for other people. He did it so other people may be set free. He did it so other people could be saved. He did it so other people did not have to endure what they deserved to endure, because he was able to set them free. The Lord Jesus, you see, endured the equivalent of hell on the cross and overcame the equivalent of hell on the cross, so that all the punishments of all those people that believe in him are forgiven. His body was broken. His blood was shed for other people. That is the message of Jesus. And the question is, was the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, was the body of the Lord Jesus Christ broken for you and me? We are like Manasseh to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and acknowledge that my body deserved to be broken. Manasseh deserved to be in a prison or a hell. We are to come, you see, with humble prayer to the Lord Jesus, to tell him that we know, we believe that, and to besought the Lord, his God. That means to beg the Lord, his God. We are to beg the Lord Jesus Christ for mercy. We are to beg the Lord Jesus for grace, that he will deliver you and me from the hell that we deserve. That as I deserve death for the sins that I have committed, that the Lord Jesus tells us that he has endured death and overcome death on behalf of other people. And if you and I come to the Lord Jesus Christ and tell him how we deserve to die, we know it because of our sins, and we plead that he will be merciful to us and not condemn us forever for our sins, he will forgive us our sins. He will cleanse us from unrighteousness. He will give us the gift of God, which is eternal life. And as he overcame death, so you and I will overcome death through him. And the grave. He has overcome the grave. The Lord Jesus, we come to him, Lord, I deserve to be in a grave because of my sins. But the Lord Jesus tells us that he has overcome the grave. He's rose again. And you and I, can trusting in him, will be delivered from the grave. We are believers in the resurrection. We are believers that those that we have recently buried in a grave at this moment in time, their souls are in heaven, but their bodies remain in the grave here upon earth. But we are believers that that dust will rise and will come to be in heaven. We are believers that each of those people will have an eternal life in heaven, an eternal safety, an eternal home, each of them, eternal joy. We are believers that through Jesus Christ they will overcome the grave. And all of us, the trouble of this world is that there is such a curse on this world. That's why so many things go wrong. The sparks fly upwards, and so is man born to trouble. That's what the Bible tells us. But, you see, Jesus was made curse on the cross and overcame the curse and is risen again. And you and I will never ever be able to overcome the trouble of this world by ourselves. The tribulations of this world will overwhelm us by ourselves. But Jesus said, you will have trouble in this world, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. I have overcome the tribulation of this world on behalf of others, so that you and I can go through this life looking forwards to no tribulation eternally. We may have troubles on earth, we will have troubles on earth. They bring us to the point where we keep on praying, we keep on understanding, I deserve these things, but Lord, deliver me from the trouble. Eternally, we believe that the Lord will deliver us. And so, you see, there is a prospect of heaven. of life, of being reinstated into, like Manasseh, into his land and blessing. Resurrection and blessing. And so here we have a true story, Manasseh's true story. The outcome was restoration. And for you and I, the Bible tells us, the Lord is my shepherd and he restores my soul. That's what the Bible tells us. David believed that God restored his soul. He restoreth my soul. Restored to the expectation of heaven. And this, you see, is a message of the gospel. It is to be proclaimed to in all places, beginning at Jerusalem and throughout all the whole world. That's what Jesus told us to do. And the message is of restoration of souls. And so, just as it was impossible for Manasseh to get out of that prison and get back to his own city, Jerusalem, so as it was just the same, impossible for the children of Israel to get into the land of Canaan, so for me and you, it's impossible to get to heaven our way. But the Lord Jesus, you see, we read in the word here, God brought him again to Jerusalem. It'll be God. That's why we have to have faith in God. Faith in Jesus Christ. We have to die in faith. Those that have gone before us have died in faith. They died in the arms of the Lord Jesus, believing that he would bring them from where they are, in whatever low place they left this world, whatever difficulty and weakness and frailty they left this world. They left this world in the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ for him to transport their soul into glory. He brought them there. Well, he brought Manasseh there, so too he needs to bring us there. He shows us the way, the narrow way that leads to life everlasting. It's narrow because you can't bring any strength of your own with you. It's down to God only. And we are to be as little children, to be converted and be like little children. To be converted from trusting ourselves, to be converted to trusting only in the Lord Jesus. To know that I need to be carried. I need to be cared for. I need a life with the Lord Jesus helping me, looking after me, keeping me from temptation, delivering me from Satan's power. Manasseh said, then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. And that is where we need to be, to get to a position where I say, we testify, if you like, hand on heart, I could never have got myself here. It's important for us to think that we could never get ourselves here. This is only by grace. By grace are we saved. Through faith, through trusting in Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. Manasseh couldn't get himself out. He had a declaration to make. God is the Lord. He did it for me. He heard my prayer. He does all for me. There's nothing, and this is important, there's nothing I need doing in this world or in all eternity that God can't do for me and that God won't do for us. There's nothing, no need that you can have in this whole universe and through all eternity that God can't do for you and God won't do for you. And so we have a life of reliance on God. The Lord, he is God. Is the Lord your God? Is the Lord Jesus Christ the one you look up to, you worship, you depend upon, you need, you call upon at every moment? And he will be entreated for you. The wonderful thing about prayer is that God was entreated of Manasseh, and God is able to be entreated of you. Your prayers, and this is very, very humbling, it's amazing, it's miraculous that your prayers here upon earth, from this little place here, your little soul, amongst the billions of people that are upon earth, in this vast universe, with a God that is beyond everything and above everything, your prayers can change the feelings of God towards you. The prayers that Manasseh made entreated, God was entreated of him. And that's such an encouragement. We feel so weak, so frail. But God's heart is able to be changed from wrath to remember mercy, to remember grace, to remember blessing and goodness. So we shall enter into that city bright. There is a city bright, but we shall enter in raiment or white clothes, as the hymn went on to say. Cleanse me and save me. We shall enter into that city bright. We shall have an eternal life. We shall have an eternal home. We shall have eternal joy. And we shall be eternally thanking the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, for all that he has done in bringing us to that point. Well, remember, the Bible is true. It is a true account. The outcomes of the Bible are true. Your prayers, my prayers, we are able to beseech the Lord and humble ourselves greatly before the God of our fathers and pray unto him. And he was entreated for Manasseh, and he is able to be entreated for you. Hear your supplications and bring you again to heaven, into his kingdom, so that you can say, I know the Lord, he is not just a God, but my God. May God add his blessing to those thoughts. Let us pray. O dear Lord God, we bring lovingly and tenderly the souls of each one that is gathered here before thee. We pray, Lord Jesus, that thou would reveal to each one of us that there is no place in heaven for us by our own righteousness. Help us each to come with humble prayer, humble begging, Lord Jesus, that thou be merciful to me, merciful to each one of us sinners. Lord, and in heaven thy dwelling place, be entreated for us, we plead, that the heart, thy heart may be changed from wrath to mercy, from to goodness and grace. Lord, oh, we do pray that thou bless each one of us, that we may be trusting in thee, having faith in thee alone, that thou, Lord God, alone art able to bring us through this life, to keep us from evil and bring us into thy kingdom, that each one of us here may know eternal life, eternal home, eternal joy, eternal blessings. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake.